Hey, and we are live. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and today is the first in what is hopefully a series of Mandalorian Mondays. Why, you ask? Because Mike likes alliteration, and because there's a new season of Mandalorian starting October 30th, 4 days away.
When did they announce that? Holy crap.
October 30th? Like a year ago,
I'm
right?
I'm kidding. All right.
And it's 1 minute long, so just to set the tone, I'm going to play that the second trailer that just came out like a month ago. So you guys ready?
Yes, sir. So
you got right. The magic button.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Oh, so good.
Right off the bat, he's got X-Wings on him.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
I'm here on business. I need your help. I've been quested to bring this one back to its kind.
I need one of those disruptor rifles.
Other Mandalorians.
Yeah,
we all do.
They can guide me.
This is no place for a child.
If they had a celebration this year, that would have been the big
Wherever
accessory.
He goes.
The visuals in this series are so good.
Did you watch
the blue guy from the first episode?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Did you watch the behind the scenes stuff for this? That's on Disney Plus?
I got through most of it. It was pretty good conversations. A tad self-congratulatory, but
even still, I mean the segment with Dave Filoni talking about his vision of Star Wars.
Yes.
I watched it the other day again, and man, I got chills. It was like, this dude is so in love with this franchise. Why isn't he at the wheel? You know what
Filoni
I mean?
Filoni gets it.
You know, I mean, Favreau is good too. You know, but like, just that Duel of the Fates conversation they had, I was like, 8-year-old me was like, I like Star Wars, you know?
Yeah. Filoni gets it. I never wanted to see behind the scenes. That's like seeing how the magician does his tricks to me. But I did see that conversation because it made the rounds. And Filoni as a storyteller has proven, both with Ahsoka and with what he did with Maul, has proven that he gets Star Wars. So when he says this is what, then okay, sure.
Yeah, I like Filoni just because he reminds me of about a half dozen geeks I've known, oh God, over the last 35 years.
It's the hat, isn't it? He's got that weird cowboy hat that he always wears.
He's like that really intense dude you meet over the long boxes in your local comic shop who's really passionate about a very specific fandom, but he's been given the chance to like do it right. So, and Walt's wearing a Mandalorian hat. What the hell? That's pretty cool.
It's Mandalorian Monday.
It is Mandalorian Monday. Josh, I understand you're a big Mando fan. What are your thoughts on season two?
I just watched the finale for season one today before the show. And if the storyline and the writing and the presentation from season one is anything to go on, and then the trailer for season two, it's, you can tell that the people behind the show are really cognizant of the failures of the new trilogy and have gone in a direction where they understand that the fans aren't dumb and the fans understand Star Wars, and they're giving them a smart Star Wars story instead of a merchandising opportunity. And the storyline, it's simple, but it's compelling. And they're not messing, you know, like even with the cool dark saber at the end, where that's already been established, I think in Clone Wars or Rebels, one of the cartoons, but they aren't doing anything weird. Like they did in The Last Jedi where they, and Rise of Skywalker, where they kind of made up some new force powers out of kind of whole cloth and affected the way that the continuity, the universe of the Force works. And it seems like you were just saying, Filoni gets the story. And that it's really important when you're doing something like this in a universe that's so established like Star Wars to get the story right. And then everything else is just kind of icing on the cake. I'm really excited for it. I think they blew any expectation out of the water. There was only one episode that I didn't really like out of the first season, and that was the Outpost episode where they fought an AT-AT. Episode 4, there you go.
I remember that discussion on Keystroke Medium, and yeah. you and Scott like went into depth on it. It was really good episode, but not the number 4, the Keystroke Medium episode. I'm pimping.
Yeah, it just, you look at it story wise, and it just didn't work at all. And that's okay. I think in every series, you're probably going to have maybe one or two fillers that aren't really good. But overall, man, I'm excited for the next season.
I just really want the end of the episode.
Okay. Can I jump in on two things that you just said?
Go for it, Joe.
So your point about the movies making up new stuff out of whole cloth and the EU stuff not doing that. That's the difference between the movies and the EU. That's the latitude that the movies have because they're the movies. Right. And the EU tries not to do that. They expand on the themes. The movies are where the new themes are made, and the EU is where they riff on that. And also, the whole point of episode 4 was to, or episode 4 in The Mandalorian was to, here's Cara Dune, she's a badass.
That's true.
That is
true. Yeah.
I like the episode for what it's worth, but I liked it because honestly, that one reminded me of watching Gunsmoke with my dad when I was a kid. And, you know, yeah. The long gunfight.
Yeah, it had kind of like a Seven Samurai thing going on.
I kind of wanted the Mandalorian tell a little girl from the village, go tell your mom all the blasters are gone from the valley. But hey, speaking of Star Wars stuff, I know we don't have a lot of time. Can we take a quick look at the I'll have the Squadrons trailer playing with the sound off, Joe, and you can give us your impressions of this game.
Okay.
All right. Let me cue that up here through Technical Wizardry.
You know, I got to say that in the last like couple of video games, the guys over at LucasArts and Electronic Arts have done amazing things with their trailers.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, there have been game trailers I enjoyed way more than some movies in the Star Wars franchise.
Yes, 100%.
So, Joe, you've been spending a lot of time in this game. How do you like it?
I have to say thank you for this game because I've been begging EA for it specifically for like 20 years. There was an older game called the X-Wing Alliance, which was a flight sim, did pretty much the same things that Squadron does. And they did that. And then for 20, 30 years, they didn't do any Star Wars flight sims. And so I bugged them on Twitter talking about, you got to do this. What are you waiting for? And they did it. And I really like it. The online is challenging. You have to chase people that, like, I went 0-10 last night. It was ridiculous. I couldn't catch anybody. My rank went down.
I didn't realize it was an online game. That shows how out of it I am. That's cool.
So there's three main things you can do. You can do the story, and the story is pretty cool. On one side, it follows the Empire trying to kind of recoalesce after Endor. And on the other side, it follows what's a project called the Starhawk Project. And I don't really want to spoil that. There's a lot of plot going on there. But there's some... They want to say pretty badly that Starhawk is like the Rebellion's Death Star Project. And it's kind of not the same thing. So that's a little weird. But otherwise, the story is fun. And then after the story, you do the AI fleet battles where you're in a fighter and you engage. There's a capital ship and they have their frigates in front of them. And you have to engage the frigates before you can get to the capital ship. And then you engage the capital ship system by system and blow it up. And then after you've done that a couple times against the AI, okay, now you can go against other players. And now there's other players in the fighters coming at you from the other side.
I'm getting the impression this isn't a game for a casual player. Am I right or wrong about that?
It is in the story mode and in the AI mode. Once you go online, the difficulty curve, it gets steep.
Yeah, because you could be playing against dudes who, like, this is what they do for a living.
Right. And the other thing is, this game is, like, set up for a VR and a HOTAS, like a hands on throttle and stick setup.
That would be badass.
And if you get somebody that has that whole setup, they're going to tear you up. Like, there's just no two ways around it.
Right on. Josh, do you play games like that?
I used to. Like, I remember back in the day playing, like, Wing Commander and a lot of World War II fighter games. I think Wing Commander was the only space fighter game that I've ever played, but, like, never online. It was always, like, the storyline battles and stuff. I've watched the gameplay of this game, and I really like the immersive feel that you have being in the battle. Like, that I think that would be really cool. And then the online play, the only online games I've ever played, first-person shooters. I've never done a shoot fighter game like this. I might have to get it and check it out.
Now, I wonder, can you do this in Minecraft?
Yeah. I know that people have made games in Minecraft. I doubt you could do this in Minecraft. But
you couldn't do anything else ever with your life, but you might be able to.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of time setting it up. But yeah, this kind of reminds me of my old days playing Crimson Skies on the Xbox.
Oh, wow.
You could do actual fighter tactics from World War II. Like, I learned the thatch weave and the high yo-yo because of these games, to dogfight people in these games.
That's a big step from Wing Commander, where, remember Wing Commander back in the day where there really was no tactics, except you kept waiting for the guy to break off or, you know, break at just the right angle so you could actually shoot him in front of you, anything like, actual dogfighting. Yeah. Whatever happened to Wing Commander? That guy's doing Star Citizen now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that movie was terrible. Like, I played the game, but that movie was bad.
I can't argue with you. It was a very bad movie.
So. Wing Commander the same year Wing Commander the movie came out. I remember liking it at first, but then as I continued to watch it, I really was like, okay, this is really dumb. But that same year, I remember that Titan AE came out.
And oh, that was good.
That was an awesome animated flick. Yeah. I loved that movie.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Has it aged well?
I think it's aged. Yeah.
You're going to have to watch it again.
Yeah, it's been a while. Pretty well. I know Josh Whedon has kind of disowned it, but I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, it was a decent. I mean, there's nothing groundbreaking in it, but it had some pretty cool entertainment, some animation in it, and the storyline was decent.
I think the thing about Wing Commander, to go back to that, is besides being some of Freddie Prinze Jr.'s best work.
That's Kanan, isn't it?
Is it?
Freddie Prinze Jr.? Yeah, that's Kanan.
He does a lot of voice work now. Yeah,
good. The guy from Rebels.
Yeah, my bad. The original Wing Commander was the closest thing we had to a Battlestar Galactica game at the time. Hey, there he is on Walt's screen. Let me see if I can give Walt the...
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
I don't know if it'll focus.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like for a now defunct Disney like computer game. You had these little stations, and when you put the character on the station, it would pop into the video game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm a huge fan of Rebels, so I have all the figures on my desk.
I love Rebels. Did you guys hear about talking about bringing some of the characters back for season 2 of Mandalorian.
Oh, right on.
Should we touch on the Ahsoka thing?
Hold on. Josh, did you have something to say real quick?
I was going to say, did you guys hear about the controversy with what is his name? The guy that plays Mando.
Pedro Pascal?
Yeah. About him possibly not wanting to continue to do it because he's not getting any FaceTime. Because he can't take his helmet off, and that's how the premise is basically that he doesn't feel that the show is building his personal brand because people don't see him, they only see the helmet, and so like with like Cara Dune, and even I can't remember what the black guy's name is. The
Karga, Grief Karga.
Yeah, what you see their faces, and even Baby Yoda, you see their face, and they get FaceTime, and he doesn't. There's not anything in it. So I guess there were some really big conversations about whether or not he was actually going to continue to be the Mandalorian.
But I haven't seen a single decent source on that. All I've seen is clickbait. If that was really happening, if he was really going to give up that role in any real way, EW and Variety would be all over that, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
There was a... So that rumor thing that you're talking about came out in late August. At the end of September, Inverse.com and several other places did some rebuttals, saying that they believe it was something he said taken out of context on set, and somebody sold it to one of these clickbait type deals. And he's getting a lot of exposure for this. And the article goes on to say that he trusts a lot of what's going on, because in the majority that he, even though he's kind of like the main draw for the show, because he's the main character, he doesn't have to do a lot of physicality for that role, because a lot of the times in the armor it's a stunt double.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. There's that thing about one of them being John Wayne's grandson.
Yeah, something like that. So I mean,
that's cool.
Yeah. I love the fact that Gina Carano's getting another bite at the apple with this too, because I'm a super fan. I used to love watching her fight.
Yep.
And I like her, even though some of her movies are a little dubious. Haywire, I thought was
Haywire good. Was awesome.
Daughter of the Wolf, which is really, I thought one of her more recent releases, and that was very good. I think that if more of these actors that really want to get into roles where they have to be physical would actually do a physical pursuit like that, it would translate a lot better on the screen. I mean, if you look at the travesty that was Iron Fist, I thought the guy who played the Knight of Flowers on Game of Thrones is a great actor. And he got into that role, and they did not put him through like an intensive Keanu Reeves kung fu thing to have him be the Iron Fist. And it showed on screen. Anytime you saw him throwing a punch, it was like, oh wow, he's had 5 minutes of training. That's great. Right.
Yeah, but that show was the Colleen Wu show. That woman that played second fiddle to him through the whole show. I can't remember the character's name, but that was Colleen the one Wing. I was paying attention to through that whole show.
Yeah, she was very good. But she's been on Game of Thrones. She's been on several other different things. She's in that. Oh, what's the name of that new movie? The Fallout style movie with the monsters. Love and Monsters.
Is that a samurai? Yeah, I just saw a trailer for that.
Yeah, it's not a samurai movie. This kid ends up like.
No. Like, the thing in the trailer was the kid. The guy pulls out a katana, and the guy's like,
"Is that a samurai sword?" Yeah. So I mean, she's been in a lot, and she's got a lot of training behind it. So, and it shows on screen.
Yeah.
Whereas, the actor that played Danny Rand, you can just tell he didn't have the time or the training to kind of translate that on screen.
I think it's weird because, I mean, Daredevil was such a good, in terms of fight choreography, show. And why couldn't they just take the same fight choreographers and put them on the Iron Fist, get the same thing? But
that hallway scene, holy crap!
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like, you know. And then you go to Iron Fist, it's like community theater.
Improv at the community college.
It's I hope they do Iron Fist right someday. They just cast, speaking of Star Wars, Oscar Isaac as Mark Spector. Apparently,
yes, I know
something with some kind of property with Moon Knight. I don't know if it's a TV show or a movie. So,
I had to look up who Moon Knight was, and I was to the extent that I was a comic book guy at all, which wasn't much. I was a Marvel guy, but I was like Spider-Man, and I had to look up who Moon Knight was.
Warren Ellis did a short Moon Knight run about 5 years ago.
Oh my god, so good.
Really, really good.
Josh, you would love the Warren Ellis run on Moon Knight.
He takes off the spandex, puts on a three-piece suit.
With a mask on, with a white mask, and like is detective noir all over the city. But nice. he's still he's still have, because the character is schizophrenic.
Yeah, so, go ahead, Walt. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. He had a break with reality because of PTSD, because he had served in a mercenary in Africa. And he starts imagining that the Egyptian god of justice is Khonshu is demanding his service. So he's always talking to, you know, this invisible thing that's off over here while he's investigating, and the police are always like, who are you talking to? Do you have like a head mic in or something, like a direct line to like special agents helping you? He goes, yes. And there's this big hulking evil looking thing like behind him that only he can see. It's really good.
That sounds very Deadpool.
He doesn't break the fourth wall. He's not aware that he's in a comic book. He's just, he has had a psychotic break, and because of that, he has multiple personalities, which are getting worse because as Moon Knight, he constantly has to like infiltrate different things. And yeah, there's the suit. he constantly has to infiltrate these different places, and because of that, he his personalities are getting worse. So, and they kind of go into that in the comic, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I would. The Warren Ellis run is what I usually recommend to people. I mean, he's a Marvel character that's been around since the 60s or 70s. It can be wildly uneven. He's in the Avengers right now, and it's just kind of very strange. You remember the Justice League, like 15 years ago, someone broke into the Batcave, got all of Batman's files for a takedown, the rest of the DC Universe?
Yeah.
All right. They just did that, except with Moon Knight as Batman, and Khonshu goes evil and tries to take out the rest of the Marvel Universe using Moon Knight.
Nice. So how about predictions for season two on Mandalorian?
Is Boba Fett coming back? Who says yes? Who says no?
I say no. I think, like you mentioned Ahsoka earlier, I think that she's going to be part of the focus of season two. I don't. First of all, it's kind of hard to tell because it's, at least to me, it's kind of ambiguous as to when this is happening. Right, like in the timeline. So, like, where are we in relation to?
4 years after, it's 8 years after Andor.
So 8 years after Revenge of the Sith.
No, Andor. So 8 years after
Return of the Jedi.
Oh, Return of the Jedi.
As far as Boba Fett, I'll say no, and I'm pretty sure I can support it. Episode six. The woman gets shot, Fennec gets shot, and the guy comes walking up. Mm-hmm. The sound effect that they use when the boots come walking up is the same sound effect as they use for Boba Fett's armor. And there's a character running around Tatooine named Cobb Vanth.
Oh, he's the one who stole the armor.
Exactly. He bought Boba Fett's armor. So my argument is Boba Fett is dead. This guy, Cobb Vanth, is going to be running around in his armor, and it's going to be played by Timothy Oliphant from Deadwood.
Is this stuff that happened in Rebels, or is it happened in season one?
No, it happened in the EU.
Yeah, the Cobb Vanth stuff EU. Happened okay. in the books, Aftermath.
I gotcha.
So they've also hired the actor that played Jango Fett to... Right. So I'm wondering if they're going to do like a thing where Timothy Oliphant steals the armor and Boba Fett approaches the Mandalorian to get his armor back. Ooh, that would be cool.
Either, and it, I think if Mandalorian saw somebody wearing that armor, I don't think it needs to be that complicated. I think Boba Fett's dead. And if the Mandalorian sees somebody wearing that armor, he's going to say, hey, wait a second. Because he says they're only supposed to be up and around one at a time. So right he's on. Not just going to let that pass. And I saw in the trailer somebody that looked an awful lot like Barriss Offee. So that would be cool. And then the other thing I really want to see is Sabine and Ahsoka.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got some big name actors for both of those roles. Which is really cool. And if you're not familiar with Rebels and Clone Wars, Sabine is one of the major Mandalorians that becomes a leader of their people in various forms and factions. And then, of course, Ahsoka Tano is the young Padawan who leaves the Jedi Order before attaining the rank and kind of goes on her own and does her own thing. So
yeah, and can I just say, I wanted to, when I first met Ahsoka in the Clone Wars movie, I hated her.
Everybody did.
I wanted her to die, and they redeemed her through the story. Like, she's the reason I trust Dave Filoni, because through his storytelling in the Clone Wars, he redeemed that character.
Well, I don't think it's
a character worth caring about.
I don't think it's a matter of redemption. I think it's a matter of, Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. I don't think it's a matter of redemption. I think it's a matter of a growth of the character, because I don't know about you, but anytime I have to deal with a whiny 12-year-old, my first instinct is to slap first and ask questions later. And that's what she was, even though she was, you know, part of this this very monistic military order. She was still a 12-year-old and acted like a 12-year-old, and you see her growth because she has these experiences. So I think that's a great way to look at that character, because I mean, who liked any of us at 12 years old?
Yeah.
That's our adults had the same reaction. You know, you walk up and you're like, hey, what are all the adults talking about? And all they want to do is like, dude, we're drinking beer. Go in the other room.
Yeah. Right. And that's the same argument they made when everybody said Anakin was abrasive. They said he's a teenager. What do you expect?
Yep.
I think she's the best example I can think of a Scrappy Doo character making in a franchise. honestly, she's kind of put there as an insert sidekick, and then they really, the last four episodes of Clone Wars, I put those four back to back. I would argue it's one of the better movies in the franchise.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's pretty much the main character.
I mean, Ahsoka is damn near unstoppable. If she's on the other side, that's a bad day. She is unstoppable.
You know, but that's a great. Oh, go ahead, please, Josh.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I just started watching Clone Wars. I think I'm like 8 episodes in. I started because Walt, you said at one time, I don't know if it was on the show or if we were just talking, and I don't remember if it was Rebels or Clone Wars, but you said the ending to one of those series was like the best ending any Star Wars has ever had.
Both.
So hopefully, I'm going to try to binge those. It's kind of hard because there's so many.
Both of them end strong. Rebels is strong all the way through. Clone Wars, I feel, starts a little bit weaker and then gets stronger as it goes.
Yeah.
I've heard that too. And I feel like it started out like a more of a kids' entertainment show, and then it kind of grew into an actual mature story as the season progressed.
I thought I was the only one. I was on a play date with another kid's dad, because that's my life now. And we were talking about Clone Wars, and he was like, yeah, I like that show, but it puts me to sleep. I go, yeah, that was my experience for the first several seasons. I couldn't watch it later at night. But really, the last four episodes, you can just skip ahead and watch those. You don't need a lot of context.
You don't need to watch all the rest of it?
I mean, if you understand that this, it's just like a big sweeping war epic.
Right.
You know, and you really want to get...
Like, I didn't know if I needed to catch anything story details that I wouldn't need for context for the last four episodes.
If you've seen the prequels, you've got most of what you need. There's a few character notes that might fly by you, but I think if you watch the whole last season, you probably get enough of, you know, if you really want to be filled in. But yeah, just the four last.
And if you're really enjoying The Mandalorian, some of the thing about The Mandalorians that you learn kind of in between the lines is that they are a multifaceted culture. So it's not just all Mandalorians are the same. Like in the Mandalorian cell that you have on the TV show, they never remove their armor, you know, whereas the ones in Clone Wars remove their armor all the time.
Yeah.
So it speaks to Filoni as a storyteller and how he understands that, you know, not all planets are just desert planet, snow planet, jungle planet, you know, and not all people are just like, we're the Mandalorians. We never take off our helmets. You know, look at our own culture, you know.
Yeah.
You know, right now we're all running around with Mandalorian helmets on, you know, whereas 6 months ago you couldn't get us to cover our faces, you know, Instagram, you know, it's like.
Well, that is a good point. All right, go
I was making a bad joke about Walt being an Instagram influencer. Please go ahead, Josh.
You don't want me in a thong. It's like a chia pet wrapped in dental floss.
That joke never gets old.
Yeah.
Speaking of things getting old, where about where we should wrap up the podcast? I got to get back to my soul-crushing day job over here on this laptop.
Nice. So
Mr. Hayes, appreciate you coming out to visit us. Listeners who have enjoyed the Josh Hayes experience here on BAM Podcast and would like to enjoy more of the Josh Hayes world, go to Amazon, do a search on author Josh Hayes. You will find his stuff there.
Keystroke Medium.
Keystroke Medium on Facebook. You can see Josh's thoughts and Josh and a cast of other writers talking about the writing life and process and whatnot. Anything I'm missing, Josh?
Coffee.
No, we got live shows Monday, Thursday, and Walt has Coffee and Concepts most of the time on Tuesdays if he's not sleeping because he's a slacker. on this Thursday, we have Christopher Paglioni, who wrote Aragon.
Oh, sweet.
He's coming on the Thursday night show for an AMA on his latest novel, and I don't remember the title. We're selling coffee now.
Oh, that's cool.
We just launched our coffee brand today. The website went live, and we've already got orders coming in. And Bistro Coffee, we've got 6 blends. It's as far as specialty coffees go, it's on the. We tried to price it as cheaply as we could to make it available for enough. Walt had the first order. I think he made the first order within 15 seconds of the website going live.
I'm the coffee guy. I had to get the first order. I mean, how can I live that down? True.
The first order was just the beginning.
Yes. Yes.
So what has a higher profit margin, you know, or return on investment? Writing novels or selling coffee?
Well, it's hard to say because...
Well, maybe you should crunch the numbers a couple months, come back and...
Yeah, we're doing the coffee just as kind of a bonus. We've wanted to do it for a while. I love coffee. Everybody else that's on the show loves coffee. And we wanted to do it as a brand. We're doing there you go. Yeah, thank you. We're trying to make Keystroke a big influencer in the writing community and doing more things that are more community related. So coffee and games and fun shows. We're going to get a couple more shows coming online in the next few months just to provide more content. And it's so much fun. And you know, the show doesn't make a whole lot of money. It pays for itself, but the opportunities we have got through Keystroke have been absolutely life-changing, and there's a lot of people involved in the community that aren't even hosts. They're just people that come and hang out with us. They've got opportunities, and it's a really fun thing. So the coffee thing is just kind of a fun thing to include in our community, and it's the profit margin is there. We make a little bit of money. I could be wrong. It could blow up and we could just be like Black Rifle Coffee and just take over the place. But I don't think it's going to be that substantial. I think it's going to be a little bit of a cool bonus and just a fun thing to do. So
I was actually just fucking with you when I asked, but that's cool. Oh. Keystroke Medium is an awesome community. People should, viewers and listeners of BAM Podcast, check it out. Keystroke Medium on Facebook. They a lot of fun content featuring the two guys right down here. And love to have you guys on in the future. Joe, love to have you back if you're up for it, man.
Oh, sure, yeah. Anytime.
I'm good to talk about it.
Anytime you want to geek out about Star Wars, I am all for it.
All right, cool, cool. Wait, I got to wrap things up and go get professional on a Zoom call over here. So I'll let you guys go. And to all our listeners and viewers, thanks for checking us out on the BAM Podcast. We'll catch you next time.
We wear no pants.
I wear.
I specifically put on pants for this, damn it.
Walt is wearing a kilt in honor of his Scottish heritage. All right, thanks, folks. Talk to you later.
Mawashi.
Bye.